Today's daf in Masechet Pesachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Beit. Got to put a lot of heart into this daf, and we're holding on Lamed Aleph Amud Beit, right at the bottom of the Yehudah Commissioner. Ochel Trumat Chametz bePesach b'Shogeg Mishalim Keren v'Chomesh b'Mezid Patur mitashlumim u'midmei Etzim. So now, continuing on the implications of what exactly is the level of ownership that we're talking about when it comes to the dinim of chometz and the isurei hana? And we talked about the goy and the Jew. We talked about differences if it belongs to Hegdesh. What about if the chometz is truma? What is the impact on achilas truma? So here's the interesting thing. When it comes to truma, there is a very special halacha that doesn't appear anywhere else in the Torah, and that is that if you eat truma as a zar, who doesn't have a right to it, and you eat it b'shogeg specifically, then the Torah gives you the possibility of a kapara. And that kapara is that you actually pay not only the what you stole, but you also add an additional chomesh, and that is a given to the kohen. And it's a very special halacha because you don't pay money. You have to actually replace the truma with something that is roy to be truma, and then it actually becomes truma when you give it to the kohen. And then it's totally truma, and if you would eat that truma, b'shogeg, then you would be chayav another chomesh on that truma. In other words, it says all the dinim of the original truma. Now, the reason that this is so fascinating is because it opens up the doorway to an unbelievably new way of considering the entire issue. Because remember that until now, there was sort of this binary question. Either the truma is something that has value because it's mutar bahana'a, or it doesn't. Now, if it does have value, so then the halacha would be that if you steal it, obviously you're chayav to pay for it. If it doesn't have value, so then there's no nafkamina because it doesn't belong to anyone. And this had, of course, other implications. If it doesn't have value, then it's not yours, and you can't be mevatel any longer either. So the question, therefore, is what about in this case where you're not paying back value? Because if you were paying back value, you could pay cash, couldn't you? Yet the Torah insists that you have to pay back something which would be the same as what you ate. So let's say you ate, what it seems to be saying is, you ate a bushel of wheat, pay back a bushel of wheat. Now, that doesn't mean that the bushel of wheat has to be worth anything, does it? So another question is, if there's going to be tashlumin for achilas truma, it may well be that the question of hana'a is irrelevant. Because first we have to decide, what does the Torah mean when it says that you pay back for truma, that you eat b'shogeg? Now, what's fascinating about all this is that the entire theory collapses the moment that you ate truma b'mezid. Because this entire halacha is a function of eating truma b'shogeg. The minute that you would eat truma b'mezid, it's like any other stealing, and you would pay value. But chometz doesn't have any value if you hold like anyone other than Rabbi Yossi Haglili. That is the question. So here's our Mishnah. You eat Trumas Chometz B'Pesach B'Shogeg. And this is one of those curious Mishnahs that can have totally different interpretations depending on how you want to read it and which shitot you want to apply to it. Now, the most exciting and normal approach would be for the Mishnah to simply be continuing on the question of the envelope that we're stretching in terms of the meaning of ownership of truma, of chometz. So then let's consider the simple meaning of the Mishnah. Somebody eats truma of chometz and it's b'shogeg. Now it's Pesach time. Does he pay or doesn't he pay? So if we look at it in terms of the value, he ate something that was valueless and therefore he doesn't pay. But if we look at it from the point of view of the unique perspective of the shogeg b'truma, so then we've got an interesting situation because, I mean, you did eat a bushel of grain. So do you replace it with a bushel of grain or don't you? It says over here you do. You're mishalim, keren, v'chomesh, just as if it were something normal. But if you ate the trumas chometz b'mezid, then you would be potter because at that point, again, this is the simple explanation, at that point you enter into the space of a normal ganav, And a normal ganav obviously is only chayev if he stole something that has value. And this doesn't have any value. So that changes it and you don't have to pay. Amazing. So dafke, if you did it b'shogeg, then you're chayev. If you did it b'mezid, then you're put. Right? Now you can imagine that there's a totally different way of learning this Mishnah, which is completely, has nothing in common with this at all. And the other way of learning the Mishnah would be that on the contrary, actually truma is, rather chometz, is actually a worth hana'ah, there's mutter b'hana'ah, which would mean the Mishnah would be going like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, which explains why you have to pay for it if you do it b'shogeg. And why don't you have to pay for it if you do it b'mezid? Ah, that's because of Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana. And Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana holds that, remember, if you eat on Yom Kippur, and or if you burn down a house on Yom Kippur, so then you're chayiv karis, and therefore you're putter for burning down a house. So over here, if you steal the chometz, and in doing so, since it was truma, you would be chayev misibi de shamayim as a czar who eats truma, so then you also wouldn't be chayev for stealing. That's absolutely nothing in common with the other way they understood the Mishnah. And it also raises another difficulty. Because if the issue is that it's Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, then what does it have to do with truma? It's just the fact that you ate chametz is a chayev karis, right? So we'd have to say that it's a different interpretation, and that if the Mishnah, in fact, is coming to teach me a Chiddush in Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, then the reason it's talking specifically about Truma is because it was only the Truma part that you did b'mezid, but the Chometz part you did b'shogeg, and therefore you weren't Chayav Karas, but you were Chayav Misa B'dei Shamayim, and we never knew before that Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana holds that Misa B'dei Shamayim is also considered to become Leben Rabim, so the Mishnah would be adding this new Chiddush, which has nothing to do with Chometz B'Pesach, and it happens to be with Chometz B'Pesach because it's going a Leben Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Now that's wild, because on the surface of the Mishnah, there's no way of knowing what the Mishnah is talking about. We're talking about two completely different planets, right? Okay, amazing. So we'll take the simple meaning of the Mishnah, which someone who wasn't aware of the whole complexity of the Chunim ben Akana and so on would have assumed. And let's take it on that basis. So now, it says, Tan Hatam, it says in Trumas, that Ha'ochal Truma b'shogeg mishalem keren v'chomesh, if a czar eats Truma, b'shogeg, and this is only if he eats it b'shogeg, because it says in that pasuk b'shkaga, ki yochal kodesh b'shkaga, specifically. So if he eats it b'shogeg, then he pays the value and an additional one-fifth, which you'll recall is actually an additional one-quarter, because it means one-fifth of the total, the way that we paskin. Echad ha'ochel, echad ha'shotev, echad ha'sach, and it doesn't matter, it doesn't have to be literally to eat. Drinking is the equivalent of eating, and as we learned in Yoma about Yom Kippur, rubbing yourself with the oil of Truma is the equivalent of drinking. So any of those three activities, as opposed to taking the Truma and just burning it up. So over there, it would be like any other stealing. So there's two ways that it could be just like any other stealing, either because you did it on purpose, or because you didn't eat, drink, or sach it, rub it, anoint with it. Okay. And this would be true whether the truma was tmei'ah or whether the truma was tahorah, and you would pay a chomesh, and then that chomesh becomes truma. And then if you went ahead or somebody else went ahead and ate, drank, or anointed himself with that additional chomesh, then he would have to pay a chomesh on that chomesh, ad infinitum, till it becomes less than a shavar prut, as we'll see. Now, the question is, and this is why we bring this up over here, because it seems to be the only way to understand the Mishnah until you come up with this wild other pshat from the Chunim ben Hakana. But the simple way of understanding the Mishnah is that it seems to be addressing the following question. You who ate truma b'shogeg, and you're supposed to pay something to replace the truma, do you pay the replacement of the truma according to its value, or do you pay the replacement truma according to its measurement? Because you're supposed to replace it. So replacement would mean by measurement and not by value. Now let me explain, says the Gemara, what I'm asking. I'm certainly not saying that somebody who steals truma is only somebody who steals truma. Because somebody who steals truma is also a regular ganav. So, and from the point of view of being a regular ganav, he would certainly have to pay according to the value of what he stole, correct? So therefore, he's not going to get off of that just because he has this additional idea of the Chumash for Truma. So if we're talking about a case, let's imagine. So this is called, first of all, in terms of its technical terminology, please write this down, Lefi Damim Mishalem or Lefi Mida Mishalem. So do you pay by unit or do you pay by value? Since we're talking about replacements, perhaps you only pay by unit. You ate a kilo, you pay a kilo. Okay. So now let me explain. In the event that the value has gone down, obviously you're going to have to certainly make up the value, that for sure, because the mikara mishalim b'fi damim de lo gara migazlan. You're not worse than somebody who stole non-truma, and every gazlan, kol hagazlanim, are mishalmim kisha'at hagazela. That's not my question. My question is in the opposite direction. Let's say that initially it was worth $1, and now the value of that kilo of grain is worth $4. So I want to know, do I replace a kilo, which is now worth four times as much as what I stole, or can I just give grain a quarter kilo of grain? Because that would be this replacement value. Okay, so but I agree, I have to pay grain, but I'll pay the replacement value in grain. So maybe that's the shot. O Dilma, lefi damim mishalei, bezuzah achal, you ate one zuz worth, so you have to pay one zuz worth of grain. Omer of Yosef, well, first of all, we've got that famous sugya, which is really a Mishnah, but okay, he's bringing it as a braita, that in the event, we had this before, somebody eats grogrot, which are dried figs that are not very valuable, and he evtruma, and he pays back these delicious fresh dates, which is much more valuable. What a lovely fellow he is. Tavo alav bracha. Oy, zaler zayin get benched to tayrekin, and everything is fine. So now, what do you mean? If you're going to tell me that he pays back the same kilo, okay, I understand. So then, yeah, zaler zayin get benched because he paid back something that was worth a lot more. He ate a geruya de grogro, so he ate 1 kilo of dried figs, which is worth $1, and he paid back 1 kilo of fresh date, which is worth $4. Okay, fine. So that explains why we're so happy with it. But if you're going to tell me anyway, he's only going to pay back the same value, what's the difference? So why should he be gebenched? My tavol of bracha. He ate $1. He paid back $1. What's so good about that? Rabbi, well, you're right. It does seem like it's paying back according to the measurement, but maybe he's paying back only according to value. But remember, since the Kohen has to translate these payrot into cash, because maybe he's not interested in figs or in dates, and what he's really interested in is a new video player, so he has to translate this into cash, okay? It's very hard to translate dried figs into cash. Nobody likes Turkish stuff anyway. But if it's talking about fresh dates, so then it's easy to turn it into cash. Maybe that's the reason. So, he ate something that he wouldn't have been able to find a lot of buyers jumping on, and he paid him back with something that's going to be easy to translate. So that's not a raya. But, the Mishnah, our Mishnah, seems to be 100% a raya, because the Mishnah says, take a look at our Mishnah, why in the world are you paying anything for having stolen effectively by eating something that has no value? So then if the Mishnah is telling us, well, the value doesn't matter when it comes to truma, you ate a kilo, you pay a kilo, okay, I understand, therefore, why even though I ate a kilo that wasn't worth anything, I still have to pay back a kilo. But iamret lefi damim mishalem, if you're going to tell me you pay back the value, there is no value. Chametz bePesach, is it valuable? Bar damimu? Well, maybe. I mean, according to Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, it is, remember. Because Rabbi Yossi HaGlili says, Chametz bePesach is mutar b'hana'ah. Oh, come on. You know what the real problem is? The real problem is the Seifa. The Seifa says that, but if it's b'mezid, then you would not. How do you explain that? So, according to Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, what's the difference? It's valuable, isn't it? So you're still a ganav, aren't you? So why in the world are you potter? Who cares if you did a bemezid or beshogeg? That only is the extra 25%. Ah, you missed the point. The chiddush of the Mishnah is that it's going like Reb Nechunya ben Akana. The Tani Reb Nechunya ben Akana said, Yom HaKippurim kishabbat tashlumim. And we would assume that over here with this interpretation, it's talking about that you ate it b'shogeg in terms of the chometz. You didn't realize it was chometz, so you weren't chayev kares, but you ate it b'mezid in terms of the truma, so you were chayev the misa b'dei shamayim, and the chiddush of Reb Nechunya ben Akana applies even to misa b'dei shamayim, and therefore you would be potter because of kimle b'derabah mineh, which is tremendous chiddush. So we've got three cases where it's kimle b'derabah mineh, chiyav misa, chiyav kares, and even chiyav misa b'dei shamayim. Maybe that's how to read it. Okay, so you're telling me for the Mishnah we don't have a raya. Fine. All right. Let me address the question. The question is, do we pay lefi midah or do we pay lefi dami? I think it's a machlokes tanoim. And in bringing you the various tanoim, I think we're going to crack open the sugya about how to view the truma in general. Take a look at this. Ha'ochel trumat chametz bepesach. Now here we've got the same cases in the Mishnah. Here it says, patur min ha'tashlumim, Midmei Eitzim, Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, on the other hand, is Mechayev. So, in other words, Rabbi Akiva seems to be saying that if you ate it, and it doesn't seem to matter whether you did it b'shogeg or b'mezid, because he doesn't stipulate which one it is, right? So, it doesn't matter, according to him, whether you did it b'shogeg, whether you did it b'mezid. This is not like our Mishnah. Your putter from Tashlumim, and you don't have to repay even its value. If, let's say, it was only usable for firewood, you don't even have to pay its value as firewood. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, why would you not be chayim? If you ate it b'shogeg, you would be chayim. So, therefore, he says, why not? Of course, we're talking about b'shogeg, probably. Amala Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Yochanan, I don't understand. What is he paying for? It isn't worth a solitary cent. So what's the value of the Trumas Chometz B'Pesach? Amala Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Rabbi Akiva, oh yeah? So what's the value of Truma Temeya? And the din is that you still have to pay back if you ate Truma Temeya, and the Kohen wouldn't have been able to eat the Truma Temeya. Forget about Pesach. What about if it's not Pesach, but it's Tameh, and then the Kohen isn't allowed to eat it? Don't you still have to replace it? Is there any Hana over there? So apparently, you don't need to have it worth anything to pay. Amarlo said, Rabbi Akiva, what are you talking about? There's a major difference. If you're talking about Truma Tameh, during the rest of the year, it's true that he can't eat it, but he certainly could use it for firewood, or he could burn it in his oven. So that's worth something, so then he would need to replace it. Basheinkein, in this case, when you eat Trumas Chometz, where it doesn't have any heter hana, and the Kohen wouldn't even be allowed to put it into his oven or his fireplace, what are you paying for? It doesn't have any value. You know what this is like, says Rabbi Akiva? Imagine a case where you went ahead and you took smushed strawberries, you know, or grapes. And what are you going to tell me? It was tummy. So you're going to say you have to replace it? It's completely worthless. You're not going to be able to burn that, are you? So over there, ein lo ba lo heter achila, ba lo heter asaka. And therefore, if a czar would eat it, he would not have to replace it. So why would you have to replace it over here? Now, when do we say that it's possible? Now, this little throw-in line is not all that important yet, but it will be very important in a minute when we get to the next price. So we might as well take a look at what it says. When do we find a case in which it's possible for you to have truma, which is chometz? That's only if you made it truma before it became chometz. But if you made it truma after it was chometz, and it's Pesach, then it wouldn't be truma. Now, obviously, if you made it truma before Pesach, of course, that's the obvious way that you could have chometz that's truma. But if you make truma out of chometz during Pesach, it will not become truma according to anybody, even according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Now, we'll take that on faith for now, because, I mean, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, it ought to become truma since it's worthwhile. We'll have to see tomorrow why it doesn't become truma. But in any event, let's set this aside for a moment and remember the fact Because we have another bright that actually builds on that fact. Tanya Idach. Another brisa seems to discuss exactly the same machlokas, goes like this. It says in the Torah, V'natan la'kohen et ha-kodesh. You have to give back the kohen, the kodesh, which is the truma that you ate. This implies that what you give him back has to be something that is suitable to become kodesh. And that would mean that whatever I ate, I need to repay in something that will handle the kedusha of the truma. Now, if that's the case, then that would mean that if I ate chometz of truma, then I can't possibly pay it back, can I? Because you just said a minute ago, there's no way to make chometz truma. So therefore, by definition, if I eat chometz, which is truma, I don't have to pay it back. This is a completely out of left field basis for the whole idea. So now the Torah never told me to pay it back. So that would mean prat la ochel chametz, trumas chametz, but Pesach, we're over there, I'm potter completely, both from tashlumim and from demei etzim. So says Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Now Rabbi Elazar Chasma says, no. What do you mean? Of course you'd have to be chayev. He doesn't agree to this understanding of Natan Lakohen at HaKodesh has to be exactly the same thing that would have been suitable as it was. He doesn't hold to that. Amarlo Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov Reb Eliezer Chasma. Listen, my dear friend, you don't hold to my drosh. Fine, forget about my drosh. But I don't understand what you're saying. You're supposed to be paying the guy back for what? He doesn't have any Hanoda coin out of this truma. So what are you paying him back for? Even if you don't agree with the way I'm understanding the pasuk, but you don't give a guy repayment for something that was valueless. Well, you could say the same thing about somebody who ate truma tmeyana. This is the same issue that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri said, but over here he's got a comeback position, as we'll see. So, if guy eats truma tmeya, forget about Pesach. Does the Kohen, it's the middle of the year, B'shayimot HaMashanah, doesn't he have to pay it back, even though it's not something that the Kohen can eat? Said Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov to him, what's the comparison? Lo'im amarta b'truma tmeya, B'shayimot HaShanah, where even though he doesn't have a heter achila, but he can still burn it, so it's worth money. In this case, the Kohen can't do a darn thing with it. Ein lo b'lo heter achila v'lo heter asaka. To which Rabbi Elazar Chasma responds, which is not what we just had in the previous braita. We didn't see any response to that. And Rabbi Elazar Chasma said to him, no, in this case, he does have ana. Why? Because I hold of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So now we have two Mishnayas, one of which actually reflects the off-the-wall approach to the Mishnah, and the other one reflects the way that we understood the Mishnah. So we've sort of cracked open the sugya a bit. So over here, the Kohen has Hanna, he could burn it, okay? He could be Meritzel Lefnei Kalbol, he could always put it in front of his dog for dog food, because, I mean, this isn't Hegdish, which is a question of whether you could feed Hegdish to the dog. Truma is definitely Mutter for dog food, if it's Aser for Hana'a, if it's Aser for Mayachila, or he could burn it for his stove. So Mesikata Chatafshilo. So therefore, in this case, he would have to pay. Now, Abaye wants to make an analysis of the various shitas, because what we're trying to do is to basically come out with a proof one way or the other about lefi midah mishalem, or whether it's lefi damim mishalem. So here is what I think is the raya, that it's a machlokas tanoim, which is what I'm suggesting, and that even though we couldn't bring a clear proof from the Mishnah, but now that we've got these two brises with very different approaches, we can actually attribute the machlokas here in these brises to this question of lefi midah mishalem or lefi damim mishalem. And here's how I see it, says Abaye. Look, if you add up all the shitas, I would say it comes out like this. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, who came back with the idea of no, it's actually mutter bana, who rather said, you don't even have to come on to mutter bana, it's just not replaceable. Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, all of those take the standard position, not like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, chometz b'pesach is aser b'hana, So what were they arguing about? Well, we'll see why I'm so sure about this in a minute. What were they arguing about? Rabbi Akiva, who holds that if you eat truma, you pay back, and he says on Pesach, you have nothing to pay back, whether you eat it b'mezid or b'shogeg. He obviously holds that you always pay back according to its value. So since it's aser ba'anah, you don't have anything to pay. Mashenken Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who says, no, you would have to pay in this case, he holds that you pay lefi midah. So that means that there's a machlokas tanoim between Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and Rabbi Akiva about whether you pay lefi midah or lefi damim. Wait a second. Pshita, I mean, Abaya needs to explain that. Was there any question that that's what we're talking about? Well, of course there is, says the Gemara. If Abaya hadn't pointed that out to you, how would you have known that we couldn't use the same approach that we did to the Mishnah to explain the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and Rabbi Akiva? Namely, that they're arguing about whether Chometz Pesach is mutar b'hana'ah or not, right? Maybe that's the point. So it could be that both of them would agree that you pay lefi damim, and nobody holds you pay lefi midah, and the only machlokas between them is that the reason, hainu taimedaka mechayev, why is Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri mechayev you? Because you're like Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Mishum desav like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, yom ha-pesach, chometz ha-pesach, mutar ba-na'ah. So Abai is coming to tell me, don't try to pull that shtick on me here. You can get away with it in our Mishnah, but you can't get away with it here. That's why, and that's why I know it's a machlokas. Because if I would be able to use that approach here in the Braita, then I wouldn't be able to prove that it's a machlokas tanayim. Wait a minute. Hey, I didn't think of that. You know what? Maybe that is the pshat. How does Abaya know? Maybe we should pull the same shtick we did with the Mishnah. So, emar chinami. So actually, how does Abaya know that that's the machlokas as to whether lefi midah mishalim or lefi damim mishalim? It might be the same exact thing in our Mishnah. Yeah, that's why I brought you both of those prices, silly. Because now you know there's a comeback position. The comeback position is, what do you mean? It was the same thing that Rabbi Elazar Chasma answered to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the next price. When he came up with that teretz, he said to him, what do you mean? Of course the chometz has hanah, because I hold it Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Note that that is very conspicuously lacking in the comeback of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who didn't have that comeback, right? He didn't say that, so obviously that wasn't the point, huh? So that's exactly the difference between these two brises. The second brisa actually is taking the approach that we had to the Mishnah. But the first brisa, since nobody ever wanted to say that, well, I don't think it's really, mutar b'hana'ah, apparently is arguing it's something entirely different. And that would be the other approach to our Mishnah, which is that you pay lefi midah. And if you're paying lefi midah, I don't care if it doesn't have value. Huh. So therefore, I say, it's a machlokas, says Abaya. See, you would never figure that out if I hadn't said that. You actually thought it was simple, and it turns out to have been brilliant. Okay, so now the question would be, what indeed is the shear of achilas truma that would be mechayev a chomesh? Because this seems to be dependent in the same question. In other words, if we're looking at the entire thing as real value payment, and the only thing is that the Torah adds this additional weird idea that in this case, the value has to be paid back in something that is suitable to be truma. But it's not coming to tell me a new din of eating is different than anything else. Okay, so then I'd like to know, what actually is the moment that we kick in with this new chiyuv? So the Rabbanan is saying a brayta like this. Tana Rabban. Somebody eats a kizayis. So the shear is a kizayas. It's not that function of money. So somebody eats a kizayas of truma. So at that point, he has to be mishalim karen v'chomesh. Now, we're not talking about chometz here. We're talking about truma. Habashol says, no, what do you mean a kizayas? I mean, it's a shavar pruta that we're talking about, right? It has to be worth a shavar pruta. I mean, how can you be chayef to pay for something that isn't a shavar pruta? So when you're talking about stealing, it's always a function of value. Aha. So now let's figure this out, okay? Why does the Tanakhama say that it seems to be entirely a function of achila? Because that's what it says in the Torah. Ve'ish ki yochal kodesh bishkaga. So if a zar, a man, meaning a man who has no right to this, his Ocho Kodesh Bishkaga, he has to pay, Vyosif Chamishito Alav, Vinatan HaKodesh, he has to now LaKohen et HaKodesh. Okay, so that's a function of Achila. Achila always means B'Kizayis in Kol HaTorah Kula. So therefore, it's essentially saying when you eat a Kizayis of Truma, that's when you need to worry about replacing it with a Kizayis of the same food that is Roy to be Truma that you ate. Okay, that's what I say. Whereas Abba Shaul, what does Abba Shaul say? Abba Shaul says, look, that's all very nice, but when it comes to the din of the replacement, it says, Vinatan LaKohen. Et HaKodesh. And netina, in terms of tashlumim, always means a shava pruta. Ein netina, I can't give something that is payment that is less than a shava pruta, which I derive in Baba Kama. So therefore, the shir is a shava pruta. And how does each one understand the other one's pasuk? So ve'idach nami, I mean, Abishol, doesn't it say ki yochal? How does he deal with the yochal? No, that's not coming to tell me that has to be an act of achila. That comes to tell me that it needs to be something that you personally are nana from, but not damage. So in other words, if you take the kohen truma, you throw it into a fire. Over there, none of this would apply. That is the typical mazik, and a ganav is one of the mazikin, as you recall, from Baba Kama, and you pay like the normal ganav who is a mazik. But in this special case where you ate it, of course, eating it includes drinking it, as we said, includes rubbing it. But the fact is that it's Xeris HaKosov, and the Torah wants to make that very clear. It has nothing to do with the shir. And the Tanakama, how does the Tanakama deal with the posik of Abba Shaul, where it says Vinatan? Doesn't Vinatan mean that it needs to be a Shava Pruta? Why is he making it dependent in the shir of a Kizayis? No, that I need to teach me. Not the word vinatan, something about the concept of the tina. The point of that posik is et hakodesh, not the word vinatan. I mean, I can't just say et hakodesh, can I? What would that mean? I mean, it needs to be a verb. So the only verb available is to give the kohen the kodesh, but the chiddush of it is not the giving. The chiddush of it is that it's something that is roy lias kodesh. That's the point. And it's only coming for that. Now, what would be the din if you ate less than a kizayit? So Tana Rabbana, ha'ochel truma pachot b'kizayit, in that case, you would pay only like any normal ganav. You would pay a keren, you do not pay the extra chomesh, because the din that was special about truma did not kick in. The Torah said, only if you eat. So now, can you please tell me what the case is? I mean, was this worth money or not? So, if it wasn't worth a shava pruta, then there's nothing to pay. I mean, what do you mean? You're like any other thief. A thief doesn't pay less than a shava pruta. So then you wouldn't be paying the principal either. If it's talking about that it is worth a shava pruta, so then why aren't you paying the additional chomesh? Because there's no kezayit. Exactly. So la'olam de'it b'shava pruta, we're talking about a case where it has a value in terms of the geneva, but since it doesn't have a kezayit, it doesn't kick in with this new chiyuv. Mishalem is a keren, the eno mishalem is a chomesh. So the Talmidim came to Reb Fop and they said, oh, apparently this braita is anti-Abba Shaul, because this braita says that if you don't eat a kezayit, then you're not going to be chayiv. And Abba Shaul said it's defined by a pruta. So, obviously, Abba Shaul is not the author of this braita. Amar lo Rav Papa, Rav Papa said to his Talmidim, I'm not so sure about that. Will you please look back and see what it was that the language of Abba Shaul was? Abba Shaul says, Ad sheyebo shava pruta. So that means that maybe he buys into the kezayit. He's saying, I agree with you about the kezayit, but a kezayit is not enough. It has to also be worth a shava pruta, because otherwise nothing kicks in. Maybe that's the point. Abashol tartiboy. It needs to both be worth a pruta because of a natan, and it has to have a kezayit because of a chal. Abashol needs both. How could you say Abashol needs both? Take a look at this braita. It says very clearly that Abashol does not need both. Because, should say Tanya, Abba Shaul omer, et sheyesh ba shava pruta chayav b'tashlumim. If you eat b'shogeg, truma that has the value of a shavar pruta, then you pay. But if it doesn't have the value of a shavar pruta, there is no chiyav at all. So they said, the Rabbanan said to Abishol, that's not true. The din of a shavar pruta does not apply to truma in any way. The din of a shavar pruta was about kodesh, which is kodesh. It's about me'ila. Yes, when it comes to me'ila, then the amount of kodesh that you have to eat in order to be chayav a korban osham me'ilais and to pay the chaymesh and so on and so forth. Yes, there you're right, but you're getting mixed up. That's a completely different parsha in the Torah. This is a zar she'ochal truma b'shog, even though it calls it a sakodesh. It's not referring to kodesh in the Beis HaMikdash, as we learn out in great detail there. But Blinin Me'ila, you'd be right. Yeah, you're right, Shavar Pruta. But when it comes to Truma, where does it say anything about a Shavar Pruta? All it says is that you need to eat a Kizayit. Eno Chayev Achiebo Kizayit. And since over here you didn't eat the Kizayit, therefore you're not Chayev. Now, what's important is the language. Look at the phraseology. If Abishol himself held that you need to eat a Kizayit, so then why would they have said you're Chayev only if you ate a kizayit? Abishol agrees to that. They should have said, you're chayev once it has a kizayit. That's what they should have said, even if it doesn't have a shavar pruta. What they're saying to Abishol is irrelevant to him. You're only chayev if you ate a kizayit. I agree. Where did I say disagree? I only said it also has to be worth a shavar pruta. So obviously, from their response to Abishol, he doesn't agree. And in fact, Abishol holds that you do not need a kizayis, you only need a shavar pruta, so he doesn't need both. And that shows that Rav Papa is wrong. Tiyufta, indeed, that is a tiyufta on Rav Papa's claim to his Talmidim that we should understand Abishol is requiring both a kizayis and a shavar pruta. And not only that, by the way, Rav Papa figured it out himself. He knew he was wrong. How do we know he knew he was wrong? I'll prove it to you. Tanya, take a look at this braisa. This is a little bit of a lengthy proof, but meanwhile, it involves us in some fun. So it says in a bright line, here we're talking about Me'ila. So it's good for us to see the contrast with Me'ila. So over there, the Torah says, V'chata'a bishkaga. So somebody who goes and he eats from the Kodesh bishkaga, or he's nene from Hegdesh, or there it's even more, but we're not holding by that right now. So if he does this b'shogeg, so then he has to go ahead and bring his asham, ve'viet ashamo el Hashem, and so on and so forth. Now this means shkaga, prat lemezit. Asks the Gemara, it's actually the Braisa, asks on itself, well, I mean, do I really need a pasuk to tell me prat lemezit? If shar mitzvot, there's all kinds of other mitzvahs, like chelev, right, and dam, and over there, those are really chomor mitzvahs, and the halacha is that you only bring a korban for them if you did it b'shkaga. And it says over there that you're chayav karas, you're still potter if you do it b'mezid, so me'ila, where you're not even chayav karas, you'd be chayav only misa b'dei shamayim on ne'ila. So for sure, you would be potter if you did it b'mezid. So what do I need a pasuk to tell me v'chata b'shkaga? Obviously, chata b'shkaga. That's the point. Now, this is not much of a proof, as Tosis points out, because it actually could be the other way around. Maybe because you did something that was not so chamur, the Torah wanted you to have an option of having a kapora, even if you did it b'mezid, like we find by Shifcha Charufa, for instance, right? So Tosfos says, yes, perhaps the Gemara could have said that, but we're taking a different tact in a moment, which is even better. Okay, that's a possibility. That's a whole big sugya in and of itself about where we would come up with the idea that the fact that something is less chamor is more of a reason to assume that we would have more chiyuvim for it. Okay, but it's not what we need to worry about exactly at this moment. So, fine. Now, what does this have to do with our discussion? Isn't it? So we're up to, isn't it a kal vachomer? So, the Gemara says that actually, it's not. And now it says it's not in the craziest way. It says, no, you see, other mitzvahs, there's no chiyuv of misa b'dei shamayim. There's only chorus, but by me'ilah, there's misa. So how, I mean, that's insane. You just said a minute, you said a minute ago that misa is not a schomer, and that therefore it's a kal v'chomer that you're not chayev. And then you say, well, obviously misa is much more chomer, right? So what is that supposed to mean? Tamun omer b'shkaga prat l'meisid. Now, Reb Nachman by Yitzchak, this is all part of the proof. That's why every word begins with a vav. And comes along Reb Nachman Yitzchak, and he says to Reb Chiya Bar Oven, this Tana seems to have lost his mind. First, he starts off with an obvious assumption, and he says that Kores is certainly more chomer. So in the beginning, he assumes Kores is chomer, and then he says, well, but of course, over here, you're Chayav Mis B'dei Shamayim, which is much more chomer than Kores. You can't do that in the middle of a sentence. What in the world? And Labisof Halimala Misa. So Reb Chiya Bar Oven had a wonderful explanation of why this is not crazy. And he said, you misunderstand what he was trying to say. What he was saying is, Archikama, Lo, Imam Reb Bishar Mitzvah, let's say Chelev, Dam, and so on. Over there, you would not be high of your chorus or your Misa if you ate less than a Kezias. But by Me'ilah, there you would be high of Misa. Even if you ate pachot mikezayit, there's no din of achilas kezayis with me'ila, because me'ila is defined by a shava pruta. Oh, he said, thank God. Oh, man, did you just, I mean, I thought I was going insane. You just made me feel normal again. Tanuach da'atcha shinachta da'ati. You have come to the rescue. I was about to just slam the Gemara and go into an old age home. So I'm feeling much better now. Yeah, says Reb Chiya Bar Oven, not so fast, buddy. Maybe you ought to find out about the prices of that old age home afterwards. Because, darn it, I thought it was brilliant, but my nechus said, don't feel so happy. Came along Rab and Reb Sheshes. They took this gigantic hatchet, and they threw it smack bang in the middle of my argument and messed up the whole thing. Shodabe Narga. Because what they said was, Man shametle, who gives you the idea that the din over here is that you're chayim misa b'dei shamayim b'me'ila, huh? Where did you get that from? That is Rebbe Shita. And what is it predicated on? Well, Rebbe, d'tanya hezid b'me'ila, Rebbe says you're chayim misa b'dei shamayim. The Chachamim say, no, it's only a lav. What is the basis of Rebbe, my time in the Rebbe? And Rebbe Abahu explained, that's because Rebbe learns out the Lashon of Chata'a Bishkaga from the Lashon of Velo Yis'u Alav Chet V'meitu Bo Ki Yichaleluhu, and that is a Gzera Shava of Me'ila to Truma. So therefore, Rebbe said, in the same way that a Zar who eats Truma is Chayav Misa, because it says U'meitu Bo Ki Yichaleluhu, so too is a Zar who is Nena from Hekdesh. Of course, a Zar means even a Kohen, in a case where he's not allowed to be Nena from the Hekdesh, he's Chayav Misa. And now I want to show you why, therefore, you are wrong. And this was the hatchet. Umina, once you're stuck with admitting that this entire discussion was only going according to Rebbe, who has a gzera shava between Me'ila and Truma, so then you'd have to admit that just like Truma is a minimum of a kezayah to be chayev, so too Me'ila is a minimum of a kezayah to be chayev. And therefore, you can't give me your explanation, Reb Chiya, namely that it means you'd be chayev misa b'dei shamayim apochas from a kezayas. Now, Rav Papa, we're finally at the proof. So Rav Papa said, nonsense. You call that a hatchet? Ha! Me maida Rebbe Karabonin Svirale. You're making the assumption that Rebbe holds like the Rabbonin that say that you need to eat a kezayin. Maybe he holds like Abba Shol. And Abba Shol holds you don't need to eat a kezayin. Dilma Kabba Shol Svirale. Dorma Yeshba Sheva Pruta Afalpi de Lespa Kezayas. Now, am I flipping out? Or is this the same Rav Papa who 5 minutes ago said that according to Rav Papa, you do need, according to Abba Shol, you also need the Kezayas. It's just that you need a Shava Pruta. And here comes Rav Papa riding his trusty steed to the rescue of Rav Nachman's intelligence and saving him a lot of money on that old age home. And he's saying exactly the opposite, that if you hold of Abba Shol, then you don't have to worry about eating the Kezayas. So you're Chayav Yifil HaPachas Kezayas. Ha ha. So what do you see from there? You see that this Rav Papa with Amar Abishol Tartibai, Elashmamina Hadarbai. This conclusively proves that Rav Papa himself realized he was wrong, and that Rav actually, there never was a tzad that Abishol was Mechayev both. So now we know absolutely, we know it from that brisa, and we can see it consistently in Rav Papa's own reason. Okay, now that was one heck of an exciting daf, which brought us up and down the Alzheimer's Madrigas here, whew, all within a few moments, and we've made sense of everything. Now let's just make sure that we go over it again and understand it fully. So it turns out our Mishnah has got two possibilities. Our Mishnah, the normal way of understanding the Mishnah would be that the Mishnah is making the assumption that you pay lefi midah and that it doesn't matter at all whether it has value or it doesn't have any value. And the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa of the Mishnah is simply the question of whether the new halacha of paying lefi midah clicked in or not. So if you go according to the case of the shogeg, so then you're paying lefi midah. And we don't care what it's worth. We care only about that replacement amount. And therefore, you'd be chayev to replace it, even though it's chametz b'pesach. If we're talking in the seifa, where he did it b'mezid, so over there, there is no special din of truma. You're just a regular ganav. A regular ganav who steals something that has zero value is not going to pay for it. That was one approach of the Mishnah. The other approach of the Mishnah was that it has nothing to do with the chometz element, because the chometz element actually is valuable since it's going like Rabbi Yossi HaGalili. And the chiddush of the Mishnah is merely that the achila of the truma over here, which is mechayev yumisa bidei shamayim, that would be the reason that you would be potter because of the special din of menachunya ben hakone. Then we went through the machlokes between the Rabbanan and the Tanakama, which is about whether you go according to the need for eating a kezias or whether it's a function of the value. That comes off of our original question of when you pay. Do you pay when the price went down? Obviously, when the price went up. Obviously, when the price went down, you're still a normal ganav. There's no question that you'd have to pay the kishas hagzela. But what about when the price went down? Can you get away with paying the lower price? That's a different question. What is the replacement that you pay? Is the natan lakoenet hakodesh? Does that mean the kodesh, but according to the value, like any ganav? Or does it mean the kodesh according to its midah? That turned out, in fact, as a bia proved, to be a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and Rabbi Akiva, because that was the only way to understand the machlokes in the opening brisa, which reflects upon our Mishnah. Since we didn't have the option of the second approach, because nobody was willing to say they held like Rabbi Yossi HaGalili, so because of that, we had to actually back up our first approach. So now we see we've got a number of different ways of understanding it, and we've got this fascinating possibility that there might be a chiyuv of tashlumim, even for chometz b'pesach, even if it's chometz that's aser b'hana'ah, because it still is extant. So that's beautiful.